Hey guys, it's Ben P. Just wanted to let you know, we just finished recording the episode, and it actually clocked in at over 2 hours in length. So what we're going to do is split it up into two episodes. So it'll be part episode 100, part one, and episode 100, part two. The first part, we'll be talking about our favorite movies, our top five favorite films. And we're actually going to end the episode with a voicemail that we received from Alan Treherne, one of our writers here on the site. And he listed his top five favorite movies for us. So we're going to play that and then end the episode there. And then next week, for the second part of the 100th episode, we're going to begin the episode with his top five favorite TV shows. And then we'll kind of go on from there with all of our stuff. So basically, we're just splitting it up so you guys don't have to listen to 2 hours of us talking. So enjoy the 100th episode in both of its parts, and we'll see you guys after the holiday season.
Everybody, welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly. This is episode 100. Cheers, applaud, everybody claps, there's whistles, the audience goes crazy. Yes, we made it.
Somehow,
we did it. 100 podcast episodes. It's been quite a ride. We're happy to be here. And we're going to do something a little special, a little different. Usually we do some geek news, you know, we do the box office numbers. This week we're going to scratch all that out, forget it, just throw it away, because we are going to do something crazy. We are going to give our top five favorite movies and favorite TV shows of all time. Not just this year, we are going of all time. So, without further ado, let me introduce you to our panel. I'm your host, Dr. Venkman, and with us today are Mazer.
Hey guys, what's up? I should just add it's personal top
personal
five.
Personal favorite, yes.
This is not. We're not trying to make some kind of Geek Tyrant Society list. It's just our own personal... Ooh. So we're hoping to get a lot of different views.
Definitely. P. Vader?
Hey, sir. Glad to be here.
I'm sure you are. Ben P.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much. Tiberius?
Hey, what's up?
Not much, buddy. R.P. McMurphy is joining us.
Hello, sir.
Hello to you as well. And Mila Kane.
Mila Kane. That's fine.
Whatever. You know. I always get it wrong.
You do. It's okay. I'm not often here.
Someone said Mila Kane, and I heard it.
It wouldn't be a Geek Tyrant podcast if you didn't mispronounce Mila Kane's name. So
it's true. You're absolutely right.
Or mispronounce something. Period.
It's true. I mispronounce a lot of things. So how we're going to do this is we are going to start off with movies, and we are all going to give our top five. We're going to start from five. Everyone will give their favorite fifth movie on their list. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about it. We'll spout off questions. We'll ask why, all that stuff. We will do that to our number one movie. And after that, we will hit our top five TV shows and go through that the same way. So, how do you guys want to start this off?
Yeah, I think
Who
you
wants
should
to go first.
I think you should go first. Sir.
Should
You're
I
hosting.
Go first?
Yeah.
All right, I will go first. Now, in coming up with this list, it's like a wrestle. There's so many good movies, so many movies I want to put on the list, but it all came down to these. For everybody, I'm sure. I mean, a top five of all time movie list is not an easy list to put together.
Yeah.
So we've all had our struggles. We've all sweat and cried over this list. So my number five, Braveheart.
Nice.
Mel Gibson's Braveheart. is my number 5.
I was close to putting that one on myself as, I think, well, number 4, but it's definitely a good movie. I agree with it being that high.
Well, it is a good movie. It's actually been at the top of my list for the longest time, but then there's just a few movies came out that just kind of kept knocking it down.
Yeah.
It's still up there at number 5.
Yeah.
So, I'm happy with that one.
Okay. Mazer, take it away.
My number 5 is the movie that gave Geek Tyrant the word tyrant, and it is Love Me If You Dare. It is a French romantic comedy, and the main character, as a boy, says he wants to grow up to be a tyrant. And it's also the world, my introduction to Marion Cotillard, and did I say it wrong?
Marion Cotillard?
Cotillard.
I got it.
Yeah, it was my first time seeing her on screen, so.
Okay. I must say, that's a little bit of a surprising choice for me, Mazer. But
it is. Yeah.
I've seen his list, and it's like French romantic comedy, number 5, 4 through 1 are all like sci-fi fantasy. Yeah. Totally fantastic. Yeah.
But I feel like the movie that gave Geek Tyrant the word tyrant should be on my top 5. So okay. Also, I love the film.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, well, I'm going to do something that's never been done on this show.
And holy crap.
I'm going to redeem Brett Ratner.
Whoa.
My number 5 pick is my personal list. I'm putting on there Rush Hour, Jackie Chan, Chris Tucker. Wow. I really just love this movie. It was kind of one of the first movies as like I think I was in 7th grade or something, and I just remember truly enjoying it. Just the whole film going experience. I just truly enjoyed the movie. And now I've probably seen it 100 times with all, like, the one-liners. To me, it just gets, you know, better every time I see it. So that might be a surprise, but Brett Ratner, you're welcome, sir.
I mean, as much as we love to hate on Brett Ratner here on this podcast, I will agree that I do like Rush Hour. It's nowhere near my top 5, but that's, you know, like you said, it's a personal choice.
Although I don't attribute its success to Brett Ratner, I say it's Jackie Chan that makes the film great.
Well, hey, let's agree with that.
No, but I think it was Chris Tucker.
Well, Chris Tucker is very funny.
That also is not really in contention in this podcast. We're not deciding who made the movies great or why they are, just that they are and why they are on our list, I suppose. Who wants to go next?
I'll go.
Whoa.
Oh,
I will defer to R.P. McMurphy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was really hard making this list, so I went on the top 5 movies that no matter what part it is in the movie, I will watch it to the end, even if there's only a minute left. So my number 5 is The Outsiders.
Okay.
Ah, nice. Good choice. Love The Outsiders.
Very good choice. Okay. Any reasoning behind that, sir?
Reasoning, it's been one of my favorite movies since I was young, and like I said, it doesn't matter what part of the movie it is, it's in, I can watch it and enjoy it. And
plus, young Diane
like
Lane.
The whole thing.
Yes.
I mean, well, young so many people.
A
right?
Young everybody.
Yes.
Good choice.
And the cast, the ensemble cast, if you look at them back then and what they've done now, it's amazing. It's,
also, they were all really, really good looking. Except maybe Ralph Macchio.
I really wasn't going
there
with that. But,
okay. Tom Cruise had some jacked up teeth in that movie.
He sure did. Yes,
that's true.
I love how we're all just spouting it.
I concur.
Random lines of agreement. All right, well, Mila Kane, what do you got?
Number 5, I have Empire Records, and I don't feel the need to explain that in any way.
I love Empire Records. That is one of those films, like Billy was talking about, that if it started... Yeah, you know, like it was on TV this week.
You're watching it to the end, even if you have other stuff to do.
Yeah, it was like 25 minutes in, and I just watched it all the way through. So, yeah.
Good choice. I've got to ask you. I know you just said you don't want to explain it. I just watched Empire Records for the first time last week. The first time I've ever seen it in my life.
Okay.
And I don't understand why there's so much love for this movie.
Honestly, is it
something that, like, did you guys ever work in a record store or something?
You had to watch it in the 90s when it was made.
Yeah.
You really did. That was
very zeitgeisty.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. That was made for a certain time period, and if you weren't around time, then yeah, you're not going to get it.
Plus, it has one of the greatest, like, fake movie songs of all time in Say No More, Monomore.
Oh, yes.
Wow, yes.
Yeah.
When I watched it, I was like, why is this kind of record store movie getting almost as much love as High Fidelity, which I feel like holds up way better.
High Fidelity, but I'm not going to get in a fight about High Fidelity with you.
Okay, alright, we'll leave it at that. Tiberius, what do you got for your number five?
Well, mine is 1987's Bad Taste by Peter Jackson.
Ooh,
okay. Wow. Going with the crazy zombie horror gore fest pick. Nice.
To be honest with you, any time that someone can chop through an alien with a chainsaw and just go through the entire alien's body, that just does it for me right there. But just based on experience of being able to pop that in when I used to watch it on VHS at any of my slumber parties growing up, or you know, anytime hanging out with friends, we'd always watch that and just laugh and have fun.
Nice,
truly.
I remember the first time I saw it, I was with Mazur and Venkman, and the three of us just could not stop laughing throughout the whole thing.
Exactly.
Yes, it's nice. Quite an experience.
All right, well, I think I'm the last one left then. My number five is probably going to be a quasi-controversial choice just because it came out so recently, and that is Collateral, the 2004 movie with Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx.
Oh, wow.
That's a surprising pick.
It is, I think.
There's going to be a lot of surprising picks, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we should, since we're still relatively early on, I think, you know, R.P. McMurphy mentioned it earlier, like, the definition of this entire list for everybody is not, like, this is not what we think the best movies of all time are, it's just our favorites, so,
yeah.
That, you know, there are so many, I'm looking at my list here, and I don't think a single one of them came out pre-1990, which is, like, embarrassing for any sort of best-of list, but that's not what this is. It's a favorites list. So,
yeah.
You know, I can watch any of these movies, like McMurphy was saying, you know, from any point on. And Collateral is just one that, like, especially now that I live out in L.A. and kind of seeing how great that movie was when I first saw it, and now it's just heightened even more by kind of being here and seeing how accurate it was and, like, how, like, all the geography and, like, the way that Michael Mann kind of painted the picture of L.A. was unlike any L.A.-based movie that I've ever seen. So I really enjoyed the movie. And the performances are awesome. I mean, Tom Cruise is, like, one of his best, I think.
I always thought it was cool that, you know, when you call a taxi, Jamie Foxx actually comes and picks you up in L.A.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the first film to capture, I think, a city, like, that seemed alive at night. Because usually, previous to all this digital technology, everything was so unbelievably dark. You couldn't see all the details and alleys and streets and all that kind of stuff, and everything just always looked muddy. Mm-hmm. When you looked at a city at night, and it was the first time you could actually see something that looked like you were actually there, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, pretty great stuff.
All right, let's move on to number four. My number four is Steven Spielberg's Empire of the Sun.
All right.
That is a solid and long movie, but it is very good.
I love that movie.
Am I the only one that thinks that movie is really boring?
I saw it
as an adult, and I actually saw it at Venkman's house the first time I ever saw it, and it was really long,
and not
a lot seemed to happen.
At that moment, Venkman said, "You are watching my number four favorite movie of all time."
He did. He actually did.
This is my number four favorite movie of all time. Yes, I don't know. I always enjoyed it. The first time I saw it, I think I was 11 years old. And when I saw it, I fell in love with it. I thought the movie was just brilliant. And for some reason, I just connected with it. And it's kind of just stayed with me through this whole time. And I still watch it. And I really just enjoy the movie that it is. And I think it's one of Spielberg's best.
You know, for me, Mike, I just remember when I watched it as a kid, it was it felt like I could be that kid alone in this weird country, in a prison, and all that kind of stuff, where it felt like that's what I would do in that situation. I felt very connected to, Christian Bale's character, basically.
I would say if you were going to pick a young Christian Bale movie as your favorite, you should totally go with Newsies. But I guess, Empire of the Sun will do.
Mazer, right?
My number four is the comic book movie that started all comic book movies, which is Superman from 1978.
Nice.
Christopher Reeves is forever my Superman. And, it started the whole thing. I mean, I think that the next film that came after was Tim Burton's Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And, there was a pretty significant break there. So
yeah.
It kind of was, in some ways, ahead of its time.
Yeah. But.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely a respectable choice. The cast and stuff, too. Gene Hackman and stuff. I think a lot of people, especially with as many comic book movies have come out in the past decade, forget, how it started and how great that movie still actually is. It still holds up really well.
Yeah. Elements of it are questionable, but...
right.
I don't think any comic book movie over
I would say Margot Kidder is very questionable, but that's just...
If you've seen the screen test, she is... of that time... she was the best Lois Lane.
Okay.
All right. Well, I guess that brings us to my number four, and this is where this is where I was wrestling with your number five choice, Venkman, with Braveheart. But instead, I ended up going with The Departed, Martin Scorsese's The Departed.
Nice. That's not a bad choice. Yeah. I can't argue with that. I love the movie.
Yeah, and actually, this is one that I didn't entirely enjoy the first time I watched it, but I've watched it, four, five, six times, and I just, I like it more and more each time. Just how many classic sort of scenarios that happen in the movie. There's really no dull part to the movie. It's, it's well written, well directed, well acted. Yeah, I really love it.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, awesome. It's funny because that was going to be my number four of the list. But I went with my guilty pleasure on this one and went with Tombstone.
Tombstone.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
I can't help it. Anytime that movie's on, I watch it. The cast is phenomenal. It, is the epitome of Westerns.
Yep.
So I could not keep it off the list.
Val Kilmer is...
R.P. McMurphy currently resides in Arizona. Have you visited Tombstone?
I've been through it. Once I get a week off of work, I will go down there.
Nice. Call me when you do.
Oh, you're coming, dude. You're coming, buddy.
My number four is Breaking Away.
Okay.
What is that, Guy Ritchie?
No. 1979, it's Dennis Christopher, Dennis Quaid, Daniel Stern, and Jackie Earle Haley. And it's about these four townies who live in Bloomington, Indiana.
Yes.
And one of them rides bikes and pretends he's Italian. And it's really, it's really just a... really funny movie, well acted, well written, well directed, with just a lot of heart.
I've never seen it. I've seen parts of it. That's why I was thinking it was the one that Guy Ritchie directed with Madonna. I don't remember what that's called.
That's Swept Away. Definitely not that.
Right on.
No, you need to see that, Ben. It's really a good movie. I love it. It's good.
Nice.
See, the funny thing is I've watched that movie many times, never knowing what it's called, but it's been on TV, and I enjoy it every time I watch it.
Was it Tiberius?
Tiberius!
Right?
Okay.
Yes. I actually love Tombstone, don't get me wrong, but I think Wild Bunch is the quintessential Western. And there I don't know, go. There's something about that end sequence that I can watch over and over and over again, and The opening sequence and the end sequence on that movie, and plus Ernest Borgnine is great, William Holden, you just can't go wrong. I love it.
Oh, definitely. I there's nothing wrong with that one. I struggled over Western, and that was on the list, but I fixed Tombstone.
Yeah.
No, I like Tombstone as well.
Exactly. They're both great movies.
So that was your number four pick then, Tiberius?
Correct.
Okay.
Right on.
Nice.
My number four is Tim Burton's Big Fish.
Nice.
I am a massive supporter of this movie. I think it's by far the best thing that he's ever directed.
Yeah.
The story by John August is phenomenal, in my opinion. It's emotional. It's just great. Like I can't say enough good things about this movie. Like it's one of my favorite movies of all time. And you know, in the favorite list and also in the best list, I think for me, it's got to be in like top 10 best if we're doing those kinds of lists too. But just the entire concept of the story and the dad kind of what is true and what's not and these kind of embellishments that he makes and the son, you know, his kind of quest to find out the history of what his father's life has been was just something that just really resonated with me. I love that movie a lot.
Yeah, that's a really great movie. It would be in my top... if this were a top 10 list, it would definitely be in that. I kind of haven't rewatched it in a while, which is why I was hesitant to put it in this top 5. But nice. Yeah, definitely a great movie.
Awesome.
Thanks, Mizzle.
Was that it?
Yeah, you're back.
That's it.
I sent you the list.
We're on number three now?
Yeah.
Yep, all right. There.
Number three. This has to go on my list. It's just one of those films that I just grew up loving and still continue to love. One of those movies that I share with my kids and they all love it. Blah, 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 blah. And before I say this, we discussed this in complete trilogies will count as one film.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep. We should have clarified that in the beginning.
Yeah, we should have. So number three on my list is the original Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah, gotta do it.
Yeah, how can you not?
Yeah.
It's just one of those films that, one, I always enjoy watching it. Two, it changed the way movies have been made since. Movies would not have been the same had those films not been made. So that is my number three.
Yeah, great pick.
That's my number three as well.
Nice.
Is Star Wars. I think just like for me it was the first time kind of having that whole sci-fi fantasy mix, and lightsabers were this amazing magic thing, and the Force and Darth Vader and Stormtroopers and both. All those things were like things like me and my brothers, I acted out, and we just had our imaginations went crazy with Star Wars.
Yeah, it's just one of those films that it's like, that's what got me into the whole sci-fi geek thing. You know what I mean? I mean, that was it. That's what changed my brain into what it is today.
Yeah. I think I'm right there with you.
Blame for my geekdom.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I think that movie or that series, that original trilogy, more than probably anything else, is like the most cited thing among modern filmmakers as inspiration. You know, it's like it's really amazing when you sit down and realize how many people's lives, literally, that movie has changed and inspired people to go on and do these great things. So it really did effectively change the world.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, well, so I guess that brings me to my number three, which is not Star Wars, but great trilogy. My number three is Gladiator, Russell Crowe. And this is my favorite Russell Crowe performance, obviously. That's why it's number three on my list. I just love the themes it kind of touches on, like sacrifice and heroism. And, he's just a badass. From the beginning, one of the beginning quotes is, he's, Russell Crowe, Maximus, is talking to his men, and he says something like, "What we do in life echoes in eternity." And that part right there.
You did that pretty well.
Thank you.
That is, good job.
And I was just like, oh, man. And from that moment on, I was like, man, I love this movie. And,
You just gave me an idea for a podcast we should do where we act out our favorite scene.
That's the 200th podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But, great movie. definitely see it if you haven't. we're not doing that, though, I guess.
I think it's understood that we're recommending pretty highly these films. Just a quick thing about Gladiator. You know, we're talking about inspiration of Star Wars, you know, how much that inspired everybody. I think Gladiator, like, every movie that has any sort of audience-based battle scene that has come out post the year 2000 has cribbed from Gladiator. Like, that's the iconic... like gladiatorial, you know, anything. Like, even Tron Legacy, which we talked about recently, you know, took some elements from that, too. So, yeah, that, I mean, talking about influence, geez.
Yeah.
Definitely. Good choice.
Awesome. I guess it's my turn, huh?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to jump on the Star Wars bandwagon. That is my number three also. It just, at earliest memories as a child... Empire Strikes Back comes to my mind. You know, just the whole when I was young, Yoda was number one in my book. That's all I wanted to be when I grew up. That was it. But yeah, it was hard putting this at number three. Like the top three were the hardest for me, but it had to be in there. So yeah, the Star Wars trilogy.
Nice.
My number three is sort of a placeholder for all other romantic comedies that I love.
Okay.
There were a lot, and it was hard to choose, so I had to go with the greatest romantic comedy of all time, which is Frank Capra's masterpiece, It Happened One Night. Claudette Colbert, Clark Gable, riding a bus. It's phenomenal. It's so funny. The jokes hold up. And it's just a really, really charming movie.
Yeah, I saw this for the first time earlier this year and actually liked it a lot. I was not expecting to like it as much as I did, and it definitely holds up. So if you've never seen it, obviously, check it out.
All right. I have never seen that. I should see it, though. My favorite film at this point is Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Great.
That was the first movie that we owned on VHS tape. My dad brought home the VCR and that tape right when he bought it, and I think he probably spent like $100 on that one VHS tape back when they cost that much. And I remember sitting there in front of our TV and watching it over and over and over again. So Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark is pretty awesome.
Yeah, classic.
It is awesome.
Yeah, there are few better movies to rewatch over and over again in this world, I think. For me, my number three is The Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, another
one. I really enjoy this movie. I think it has been battling back and forth with Casablanca and Godfather and Citizen Kane on IMDb's top 100 list pretty regularly ever since it came out. And, I'm just a massive fan of it. It's like perfect storytelling on almost every level. Like the performances are fantastic. Frank Darabont, who has been a little hit or miss with me in the years since, has laid out what I consider to be a masterpiece. So this is one, you know, we were talking about earlier, I can just watch from any point.
Yeah.
I love this movie.
It's the same for me. I love that movie. You know, it's always been up there. It didn't make my list of the top five, but it's definitely would be number six on the top 10.
It also has what I consider to be possibly my favorite ending of any movie ever.
Oh, it's amazing.
Definitely.
So, it's just great stuff.
All right, number two. My number two is David Fincher's Zodiac.
Okay.
Man, now you're making me feel bad, Venkman, because I didn't see that, and now I feel with you putting it that high on your list, I am shamed, sir.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those movies, I saw it in the theaters, absolutely loved it. I got it on Blu-ray, and just, I still, it's one of those movies that I stick in my Blu-ray player to watch at least once a month. It's I don't know what it is, but I enjoy the hell out of that movie. And not everyone will agree with me, because I know a lot of people say it's very long, very slow, very boring. But the script and the acting and dialogue, the wittiness, everything, comes together, and this is almost just a perfect film. And I've just always enjoyed watching it. I don't know.
Nice, I feel bad for having not seen it.
I think it's methodical, just like Zodiac Killer was. So, I mean, in a way, it's very, you know, smart movie.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And so, I've gotten crap for that being on my list before, but I don't care because I just enjoy it. And it's number two on my list, so that should tell you how much I enjoy the movie.
Well, that's the thing, too, is that a lot of people said it was long, but my first experience with it when I watched it in the movie theater, it was perfect to me. It was the timing was perfect, the flow, the rhythm of the movie was great. So yeah, I can see why it's up there.
Yeah, love it.
Cool.
Love it.
All right, my number two is a movie that came out this year, and that movie is Inception.
Wow, that got vaulted pretty high.
Yeah, that got high really fast.
Yeah, that got high really fast, and it's because I have been wanting to make a movie about dream time dilation for a long time. It's a concept I've been thinking about for a while. My wife is looking like I'm crazy. but I've been thinking about a movie that exists in the dream world and all sorts of things like that. I've been thinking of a film for a long time, and it's got a lot of the ideas I wanted to do, and like, I hate that it stole... I mean, not steal, but it has so much of what I wanted to do. But it did it in a way that I am so unbelievably happy, and I love and enjoy the film.
Yeah.
I think we on Geek Time, we recently posted, it was the four dream sequences, like the dream within dream, all the way deep into Limbo, playing out in real time. And you're like, wow, that's so much happened. But you're like, wait. That's what happened after everything else led up to that. And you're like, gosh, and that all fit in, like, a movie that wasn't, like, 5 hours long?
Yeah.
It's amazing. So, I mean, just in terms of just editing, the music, all of that, I love it top to bottom. So,
yeah, it's a really good movie. Who knows? It could be nominated for Best Picture this year. Probably should be.
It will
there
be.
There are 10, so it will be.
Yeah, it will be.
Nice. Well, I stand corrected then.
You stand confirmed.
Well, along those same lines, now that we're getting to my number two, another Christopher Nolan movie is The Dark Knight.
Nice.
This movie kind of, for me, showed me what comic book movies could be and what I will, like, forever use as a standard of what they should be from now on. It's kind of in this, you know, I'm going to hit on the same things that Mazur was just talking about with Inception, because it's a Christopher Nolan movie. Like, just kind of the layers that exists in the movie, you know, the themes of, like, sacrifice and for the greater good and just the whole, like, look of the movie, you know. I don't know. I could go on and on. It's pretty damn good.
Awesome.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to find anybody that argues with you on that point.
No, not at all. All right, for my number two, I'm going to have to follow in Ben P's footsteps and go with The Shawshank Redemption. Since the first time I saw it. One of my favorite movies of all time. I don't think it'll ever get bumped off the top five list. It's just, to me, it's emotional. It totally draws you in. Doesn't let you go until that very last scene. It's pretty close to a perfect movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, it should be high up on everyone's list.
Okay. Disclaimer before my number two.
Disclaimer.
This is a favorite movie. I'm not making the claim that this is a cinematic masterpiece.
That's what this list is for. Go for it.
It's very. It's a favorite of mine for very personal reasons.
Yep.
I'm going with Mamma Mia.
Oh.
And none of you guys can make fun of me except Venkman because I was rude about his number four.
I've never seen it, so I cannot judge.
Yeah, I can.
Well, it's not on my list, but I enjoyed the movie.
It's entertaining.
It's so fun, and it makes me so happy to watch it. And we were actually watching it the morning I got married, my best friends were doing my hair and makeup, and we were watching it, and, like, when it was time for me to leave, it was the song slipping through my fingers all the time. And just, it was just a really fun, happy movie that's associated with good things for me. So.
Yeah, it's like Tiberius with his pick earlier. It's all about, you know, the personal experience exactly. and kind of what you were going through at the time.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy. The first time I saw that movie was because of Mealy Kane, and we were at Comic-Con. That was the first time I ever saw it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You guys gave me the remote control, so...
It was one of the weirdest Comic-Con experiences of my life, but it was a decent movie, so it's all good.
I have to say that my next choice, I've been battling back and forth whether it should be number one or number two, but I'm going to go with The Big Lebowski. I could easily put that at number one, and it's just, I can watch that film anytime, any way, at any part in the film, and just be in love with it. I can't stop talking about how awesome it is. It's my favorite, one of my favorite films of all time.
I recently, within the past 5 years, I think, got a lot, like, really heavy into all the old film noir movies, The Big Sleep and Maltese Falcon and all the kind of really classic stuff, and when I first saw The Big Lebowski, I didn't get it at all. I was like, what is this? And then recently, you know, when I got into all those movies and then rewatched The Big Lebowski, I was like, oh, that's what this is. So I definitely yep. do not... begrudge you for putting this that high up, because now that I understand the movie a little bit better, it's phenomenal.
John Goodman in that, the scenes with John Goodman, I just, sometimes I just lose it. I can't stop laughing at some of the things that he does. This is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass. And he tears the shit out of that car. I mean, it's not even the right kid's car. Come on, that's serious.
Yeah, and his constant belittling of Donnie is just brilliant.
You're out of your
Donnie,
element,
you're
Donnie.
Out of your element.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Anyway.
My number two actually mirrors P. Vader's, and that is The Dark Knight.
Oh, nice.
I am a massive fan of this movie, obviously, and I'll just basically echo everything that he was saying. I'm not going to say it's the standard to which I will hold every comic book movie, because I feel like other...
well, we know.
I feel like other comic book movies, like Iron Man, for example, can go for something completely different in tone and don't necessarily have to match up with The Dark Knight as far as seriousness and all that stuff, but any sort of comic book movie that attempts to take itself seriously should aspire to The Dark Knight. And a lot of people, you know, obviously everybody deserves, like, Heath Ledger's performance gets all this attention and stuff, as it well should, because it was freaking amazing, but I think the unsung hero of The Dark Knight is Aaron Eckhart, and I love his performance as Harvey Dent. I think it's overshadowed, unfortunately, by Heath Ledger's death, and that might sound callous or whatever, and I apologize if it does, because that's not how I'm intending it at all.
Stupid,
but
Heath Ledger dying and taking away Aaron Eckhart's thunder.
That's what I was not hoping to do. But I just think, next time you watch the movie, just watch it with kind of a special eye on Aaron Eckhart, because he's phenomenal. So, that's it for me.
And now, drum roll, do we have a drum? No drum?
We'll have all a drum. Right. I might be able to find a sound effect.
Drum roll. My number one movie, favorite movie, is once again a trilogy. Gotta go with Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Nice.
Because that movie just blew me away in every possible way. It just is an incredible feat of filmmaking and storytelling that was done extremely well. And I couldn't be... Lord of the Rings has always been one of my favorite books, and to see it brought to life like Peter Jackson did just was incredible, and I couldn't have been happier with the outcome.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is my number one.
All right, my number one, and it's been my number one for a long time, is Gattaca. It's about ambition, it's about... the human spirit persevering over a system that is designed for you not to succeed in it. And I just love all the performances in the film. I mean, it's sci-fi, but it's completely not about sci-fi. and it's about a possible future that could seem very possible.
Yeah. I've not seen it, but that's definitely on my list of ones that
it's a film that, like, every time I see it, and it was funny, is it didn't jump to the top of my list. It's jumped to number one over time.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty, it's going to be there for a while, probably. But
it's a surprisingly gorgeous movie, too. Like, the cinematography and stuff. When I saw it, because I saw it recently, about 2 years ago or something, and was kind of blown away by how just beautiful the movie is. I wasn't really expecting that out of that type of movie.
And it's amazing because the film has such a particular feel and tone, yet, like, it's all found locations, and it's, like, 20s, 30s, like, clothing style, and very, like, art deco. It's just, it's a very beautiful film.
Nice. Well, my number one is actually the same as Venkman's number one. I have I have Lord of the Rings trilogy, and for me, you know, it's just, it's gonna sound real obvious, but it's such like an epic journey film. It kind of just fits right perfectly into that definition. I think we were citing Star Wars earlier as, you know, people's inspiration to get into film and stuff, and I would say this is mine to that extent. Like, I don't want to be an actor or anything, but, you know, I saw these movies in the theater, and I kind of thought to myself, like, man, like, they inspired me enough for me to think, like, this is, I have to somehow, like, work in film, because not because of these movies, but because these movies have inspired me so much. Like, I want to inspire people how these movies have inspired me, and that's, I think that's the greatest thing to bring from the Lord of the Rings trilogy, is just, for me at least, is how inspirational it was for me.
It's kind of astounding, those movies. Like, if you take a look at what Peter Jackson was able to do, first of all, because nobody, except for diehard horror fans like Tiberius and some of the others, you know, people, Peter Jackson was very, very unknown at that point. And the amount of popularity that he gained after the movies is pretty astronomical, obviously. Yeah. And then, if you look at those movies, it's simply ridiculous. Like, what he was able to accomplish and put on screen and commit to film, it's like you're in a time machine or something and, like, transported to another planet watching this movie. Like, the production design alone, I mean, you could talk about that for freaking 5 hours or something. It's just insane, like, the scope of those movies. Whenever anybody says anything about scope, instantly my mind goes to Lord of the Rings. Like, there's no other comparison in my mind.
It is the epic of epic films. You know, it just, it's huge. It's just huge.
Yeah.
And I've always been excited to see if there was a movie that would come out that could actually top what that movie did. And I think maybe James Cameron's Avatar came very close to reaching that scope, but it still didn't get there.
Yeah. I think it's yet to be determined, though, because with 2 and 3, we don't know how far he's going to take that as far as, like, multiple worlds and stuff, but, I mean, that gets into some speculation and things, but if you're just talking about, and it's tough to compare, too, because we're talking about the trilogy as a whole, as opposed to just one movie that Cameron's done, so maybe after the entire Avatar trilogy is complete, we can come back and have this conversation again, but...
And we will.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with the group again. Lord of the Rings, the trilogy.
There you go.
Holds it. Holds it solid. There's no replacing it at the moment. But I just remember with Mazur and Venkman, we saw that movie a good 5-6 times, the first one. We would actually sneak in to go watch The Fellowship of the Rings before going to see other movies. It was that amazing, and to this day, I don't know if it's the same for you guys, but the casting, in my opinion, was top-notch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, and the thing that I feel now is that when I see the characters from that movie, like in a TV show, you know, in another movie, my first thought goes to that role.
Yeah.
How amazing that was. And I know this may sound weird, but I think the shining star in the whole movie was Sean Austin's Samwise Gamgee.
Yeah.
when I first saw that was him, thought totally random choice, but I would never replace him with anybody else. There's no one else I can think that could play that role as good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, well, now for something entirely different. My number one is Gosford Park, which is a bit different. It's Robert Altman. It's one of his, like, sprawling ensemble. Like, there's, like, 25 characters.
Wow.
And it's really, really rewatchable.
Cast is ridiculous.
The cast is phenomenal. It's, like, every great British actor you've ever thought of, plus, like, two Americans. And it's so rewatchable because there's so many characters and there's so many storylines that you realize new things about it every time you watch it. And every time you watch it, you pick up some, like, line that said that Maggie Smith is saying in the background that's, like, dead funny. And it's one of the movies I watch if I've, like, had a bad day or I'm feeling crappy. I go to Gosford Park, and it's just, it's always rewarding. Can't say enough about it.
Awesome.
And that's what a number one should be.
Yeah.
I'll have to add that to my list because I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's a great movie. Robert Altman, probably one of my that's probably one of my favorite Altman movies.
Yeah, it's my favorite Altman film.
Aside from The Player, which was great. But anyway, yeah, my favorite is not, I think I probably have one of the least geekiest collection of top films. But, you know, what can I do? I like Rear Window. And
great
it's my
movie.
Favorite Alfred Hitchcock film. It's a toss-up for me on North by Northwest or that, but Rear Window is by far the best film that I think Hitchcock made, and it's my favorite for that reason, because it's just has everything. It's so beautifully shot, and it's perfectly cast, and it has so much tension and everything. It's great.
Yeah, the suspense in that movie where, if you take a step back and look at it, not a lot actually happens, but the movie makes you feel like something could happen at any instant, and it's really amazing.
Yeah, for me, I think the scariest thing in any movie ever is when the lights go out in the hallway. Like, during the climax when Raymond Burr's coming for him.
Yep.
And the lights go out, and you're just like, oh crap, holy crap, it's going down. Yeah. Love it.
And the ingenious use of the camera as an actual weapon.
Yeah.
To fight back, to me, is a unique weapon, probably hands down the most unique weapon that someone's used on film. So, it's great.
Rock nice. On. All right, well, my number one is actually a callback to something mentioned earlier in this podcast by R.P. McMurphy, and that is Tombstone, which is probably a controversial choice again, but it's one of those kind of personal movies that just every performance is brilliant, and none, even among these brilliant performances, can hold a candle to Val Kilmer, which I think is my favorite movie performance, like, ever in the history of film, as Doc Holliday, who's just freaking becomes that character, and it's just great. I love the movie. There's so many different sections of it. I feel like it's two or three movies combined into one, but it's not, like, long and drawn out to the point where it feels that way. I'm not really articulating that very well, but there's sections of the movie. There's definitely, like, keystone, like, plot points that once the tone, there's, like, tonal shifts in the movie that just completely change it to a different level, and I love every single level that it goes to, so I'm a massive Tombstone supporter. There's this website called flickchart.com that you can go to, and it's pretty cool, actually. It holds up two different movie posters, and you just have to pick which one you like better. And then once you do that, it ranks, it keeps track of all of your decisions, and actually makes essentially a best of, like, your favorites list based on your choices, and it just matches up movie versus movie.
Based on movie, not poster.
Based on movie, you're right, not the poster. Although the posters are really cool, and it actually shows a bunch of cool, like, alternate posters from different countries and stuff, but that's just a side bonus. But I got into Flickchart about a year ago, and Tombstone, I just couldn't find anything to knock it out of my number one spot, you know? Like, there was nothing that came up that I liked better than Tombstone. Even something like Back to the Future, which I love so much, I couldn't vote for that over Tombstone. So, I don't know, that's my number one.
Nice. All right. No arguments.
Yeah, totally acceptable.
Okay, so that's pretty much everybody's top five favorite movies. Alan Trehearne called in and left a voicemail giving us his top five favorite films and TV shows. He's not able to join us tonight, but definitely wanted to get his input and opinion and share it with all of you. So check it out.
Hey, guys. Trehearne, one of your writers at the website, geektyrant.com to be specific. I wanted to congratulate you on 100 podcast episodes. I've been a really big fan for a long time, probably since episode 98, though I feel like we've been through a lot together. On to the casework. Heard you guys were doing some top five movies and TV shows and celebrations, so I thought I'd mix up the pot by giving you mine. So to start with movies, number five, Princess Bride, classic adventure that will never get old. Number four, Hook, Dustin Hoffman in his best role, and the music is great. Maggie Smith, man. Number three, The Searchers. John Wayne's greatest film? Probably. Number two, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Shake the way I looked at history and manliness. Number one, The Empire Strikes Back. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'll take a bullet for this movie. We'll be right back.